Will you please bow your heads with me in prayer? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The day of Pentecost. It's a pretty gnarly day for us, celebrating with our brothers and sisters in Tanzania. This relationship that we have had with Temeke Lutheran Church is an old relationship. It is the oldest companion relationship in our synod. When the Northern Great Lakes Synod partnered with the Eastern Coastal Diocese of Tanzania, ours was the first church to be paired with a church over there. This is back in the mid-90s. This is back when I was still in high school. Just so you all wanted to hear that, right? But it's a good history. This is a good history. This relationship has had its ups and its downs, absolutely. It's had moments where it's been super active and moments when it's just kind of settled down a bit. I hope we are back on that upswing again. I had the privilege of chatting with Pastor Maya a little bit through email this morning. I told you a little bit of what he said. They have been praying for us for years. And we have gathered together today completely saturated in prayer. If they say they're going to pray about something, it is going to happen. They will pray. And when they pray, they have full confidence that what they pray for will happen. Now, I think there's something that we can learn from the faith of our brothers and sisters in Tanzania. There is something that we can learn right there. There is something magnificent about that simple, confident faith. I don't know about your faith experience throughout your life. I can tell you a little bit about mine, that it seems as though the older I get, right, because I'm super old right now, seems as though the older I get, the more I try to explain things. The older I get and the more experiences I have in life, the more I try to explain away simple occurrences. Something happens that could be inexplicable. My first reaction is to come up with a logical, rational explanation, instead of perhaps attributing that might have been God's work. There's something that we can learn from our Tanzanian brothers and sisters in the simple, bold, confident faith that they have. I'll tell you a little story. Maybe you've heard this from Bishop Screenis. This is his story. It's not mine. I've heard him tell this story enough times. I feel like it's my story. We had some visitors from Tanzania come to the Northern Great Lakes Synod. This was a number of years ago. And some of them were staying with Bishop Screenis and Luann, his wife, in Marquette, or Ishuming. And, gift giving is a huge part of the Tanzanian culture. When they come, they shower us with gifts. When we send groups over there, they shower us with gifts. And that kind of gift giving culture is contagious, you know, and that was no doubt the case here. When the visitors from Tanzania came, they were showered with gifts from us as well. And the people that were staying with Bishop Screenis and Luann, when it came time for them to get ready to go to the airport, they're packing their suitcase, and they're packing all of their gifts and all the stuff. You know how strict airlines are about weight limits, right? You know when you travel internationally, there's a 50-pound weight limit per bag? When they packed all of their stuff into their suitcase, Luann took the suitcase and put it on their scale at home, and it weighed 80 pounds. 80 pounds. And Luann and Bishop Screenis are thinking, we got to do something here because this is not going on the airplane, right? We know how things work here in the U.S. So they were telling their guests, you know what, don't worry about it. We will ship some things over. We'll get another bag. We will pay for the... No, Bishop. No, Skofu. Skofu is Swahili for Bishop. No, Skofu. God will provide. We will pray about this. God will provide. That's not exactly how it works here in through our TSA, right? Well, this is a little unnerving for Bishop Screenus and for Luann, but there wasn't much arguing that you could do. Every time they tried to bring it up, no, Skofu. God will provide. We will pray. And they prayed. And they prayed fervently that God would figure it all out. They arrived at K.R. Sawyer Airport. And as they walk into the airport, Bishop Screenus and Luann, again, said, really, we should unpack some of these things. We'll ship it. Don't worry about it. No, Skofu. We have prayed about this. God has figured this out. They get up to the counter to check their bag, and the scale was broken. Right? And the guy behind the counter picked it up and said, this feels kind of heavy. Forget it. Threw it in, tagged it and threw it out. Threw it in there. You know, there's something we can learn from our Tanzanian brothers and sisters. There is a perfectly logical and rational explanation for that whole thing, right? There is an explanation that will make perfect sense about how that happened. The scale broke. The guy behind the counter was having a good day. Maybe had a good night the night before, was feeling very generous, didn't really care much. Right? There's explanations. Or perhaps God provided, as prayed for. There's something about that confidence in the Lord. When our Tanzanian brothers and sisters pray, they pray with full confidence that whatever they're praying for will happen. Right, Philip? You've experienced this. Yes. There is something that we can learn from that. The remaining 11 apostles, those who were still around after Jesus' resurrection, after Jesus left them and ascended to the Father, the remaining 11 did what seemed to make sense. And they went back to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and celebrated with their family of faith. Pentecost is not a Christian holiday. Pentecost is an ancient Jewish holiday. Things changed on this particular day when the 11 returned to Jerusalem, went back to worship on this magnificent festival of Pentecost that was in the works, that gathered in the temple, surrounded by people all over the place. And all of a sudden, what changed on this day was there was a rush of a violent wind, sounding maybe like a tornado, maybe like a hurricane, something, it doesn't matter. You get the picture. And there was these little divided tongues, as the Acts chapter 2 says, little divided tongues like flames rested on each of them, on each of the 11. There they are in the midst of their family of faith, of their brothers and sisters, fellow Jews, celebrating a Jewish holiday. And these little flames rested on the 11, and they began to proclaim. They began to proclaim in languages. You heard them all read if you were paying attention to when Chris was reading. There were tons of groups of people that were listed in that reading from Acts 2. Many of them. They all heard what the apostles were proclaiming in their own language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Phrygia, Pamphylia, Pontus, Asia, Mesopotamia, all kinds of places. Two of those groups of languages had not been heard on the earth for 500 years. Isn't that spooky? Doesn't that send chills down your spine to think that here you have the 11 apostles and there's little flames that are flickering over the top of them and they just start speaking. They start speaking in languages. They're just simple fishermen from Galilee. And they start speaking languages that span the whole globe and even reach across the barriers of time to an extinct people. Now, there were those among them who had a rational explanation, who made sense of the whole thing, who applied logic and said, well, this is weird. Clearly, they're drunk. That's the rational explanation. They must have imbibed a bit too much the night before. And Peter stands up and says, well, wait a second here. These are not drunk as you suppose. Hey, it's only 9 in the morning. Clearly, the apostles have not been around Michigan Tech or on Winter Carnival. Right? But that's Peter's standing up and saying, whoa, it's only 9 in the morning. They're not drunk as you suppose. No, no, no. This is what the prophet Joel spoke of. In the last day, in the day of the Lord, the Spirit will be poured out upon God's people, and the sons and daughters of God will prophesy. And young men will have visions, and old men will dream dreams, and they will all prophesy. Confidently and boldly, just as the 11 who were gathered in that temple were confidently and boldly proclaiming whatever they were proclaiming in languages that hadn't been heard for 500 years. There's something that we can learn from our brothers and sisters in the faith, from the 11 apostles, that confidence and that boldness. You see, Peter explained the prophet Joel and then went on. What is not in our reading is the next thing. When he proclaimed to the people who were gathered there and said, you know, that Jesus whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead. And he just told them the story. He witnessed to what he knew confidently, boldly, without reservation. And by the end of that story, 3,000 came to believe. There's something we can learn here. The Apostle Paul. There's something we can learn from the Apostle Paul. You see, in Romans chapter 8, the other reading that Chris read, in that reading, the Apostle Paul is very, very clear. He says, those who have received the Spirit are children of God. And you have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear again. No, no, no. You have received a spirit of adoption as the sons and daughters of God, as children of God. You have not received the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption as children of God. Adoption, as you all know, is close, is intertwined into my life. And the thing about a child who is adopted, there is no distinction. There is no difference between a child who was adopted and a child who was born biologically to mom and dad. Right? There is no distinction. There is no difference. I wonder, do we believe that? I know you all believe that about adoption within our realm, right? You know that adopted children are no different from biological children. You know that. So I'm not questioning whether you believe that. What I'm questioning is, do we believe what the Apostle Paul says when he says, you have received the spirit of adoption, making you the sons and daughters of God? You see, there is no distinction between a child who has been adopted and a child who has been born biologically. And the thing about the Apostle Paul and his bold proclamation is that there is no distinction then. In his line of thinking, there's no distinction between you who have been adopted and Jesus, the Son of God. There is no difference whatsoever. Becky? There is no difference between you as God's daughter and Jesus as God's son. There is no difference. Isn't that trippy? Have you all thought about that before? Renee? There is no difference between you and Jesus. You are just as much a daughter of God as Jesus is the Son of God. In the gospel reading, Jesus himself even says, you know what? The Spirit's going to come, and when the Spirit comes, you are going to do my works. In fact, you're not just going to do my works, you're going to do greater works than me. Isn't that crazy? That you and I are going to do greater works than Jesus Christ himself? That's what he says. Do we believe that? Do we believe that with the kind of confidence and trust that our brothers and sisters in faith have across the world? Because it's for real. There is no difference between you and Jesus Christ himself when it comes to being adopted sons and daughters of God. You have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. No, no, no. You have received a spirit of adoption. As children of God, and not only children, but heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Brothers and sisters with Jesus himself. That is what God has chosen to do. That's the heart and soul of the gospel message, that God has chosen to do this. Why? Because that's what God wanted to do. It's as simple as that. It's simple. It's very clear. There's no need to explain it away. I think there's a lot that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. I think there's a lot that we can learn from the 11 disciples. There's a lot that we can learn from the faith of our brothers and sisters in Tanzania. Will you please bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty God, you poured out your Spirit upon your people on that first day of Pentecost, and you have been doing that ever since. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Keep us grounded in our identity as your sons and daughters. Let nothing in this world tear that away from us. If we forget that, dear Lord, remind us. Keep us united with our brother Christ, with our brothers and sisters in Tanzania, with all of your people. Keep us confident, ready to boldly say who we are, trusting your word of promise. We thank you, dear God, that you have chosen to redeem us and call us your sons and daughters. Now help us to live into that. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.